Welcome to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Dr. Jeff Schwarzentraub, senior pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. God has called his church to take the good news of Jesus into the world. That's our mission as disciples of Christ, and this ministry exists to challenge brave warriors for courageous kingdom advancement. To learn more about Brave or give a gift to help make programs like the one today possible, head to bravepastorjeff.com. Again, that's bravepastorjeff.com. Today on Brave, Pastor Jeff begins his message, God's Design for Human Sexuality, from the series Stronger. He'll help you discover why God's design for sexuality is more beautiful than self-gratification. Now let's hear from Pastor Jeff as he brings us today's teaching from God's Word.
I want to encourage you this morning, open up your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and as we're in this series called Stronger, really what we're talking about is how to live a godly life in a godless culture. And for this series, we've been looking at the book of 1 Corinthians, and the Apostle Paul has written back to them and told them, hey, listen, now that you profess Jesus Christ as Lord and you're saints in Christ and God has a purpose for you, I want to let you know there's a certain way that God wants you to live. And what we've just come out of in chapters 5 and the first part of 6 was Paul began to tell them about what do we do when there's someone in the church who's unrepentant. Not people that sin or the church couldn't exist, but unrepentant, blatant, willful, ongoing, unapologetic sin, and I don't care. You can't tell me what to do. What do we do with people like that? And we spent a whole week on that. And then we spent a week talking about, hey, as Christians, because we're part of the body of Christ, don't drag people into the courts. Don't take people to secular courts to solve your spiritual problems. Deal with it in the church. God gave wisdom to the church. And now what Paul's going to address is that the reason is because our bodies are part of the body of Christ. And specifically, what he's going to address is sexual immorality and what sexual purity should look like in a church, what Christians should live like. And throughout the rest of this chapter in 1 Corinthians 6, starting in verse 12 through the end, there's really four things that we want to highlight that you should know about your sexuality and how God created and designed it and wants it to be. And the real reason that we need to take a look at this is much like it was 2,000 years ago, there's still a lot of people today, Christians that call themselves by the name of the Lord Jesus, that don't understand what God's design is, how he created it, why he created it, and what its purpose is for. And so I hope that your heart is open and ready to receive everything that the Lord has for you this morning. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, starting in verse 12, Paul's just finished by talking about what some of them used to be and how God had cleansed them through the gospel of Jesus Christ and his shed blood. And now he says this, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. Food is for the stomach and the stomach is for food, but God will do away with both of them. Yet the body is not for immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord is for the body. Now, when Paul starts establishing what he's going to establish, the first thing he's going to say, the first of four things we're going to highlight is, when it comes to human sexuality, God created something more beautiful and liberating than self-gratification. When it comes to your sexuality, God created something far more beautiful and far more liberating than self-gratification. Now, Paul's just got done spelling out the gospel in 1 Corinthians 6:11. He talks about those who live a certain way won't inherit the kingdom, and such as some of you were, but you've been washed, you've been sanctified, you've been justified, you've been set apart. And if you really understand the gospel, I mean, if you really understand that Jesus Christ died for all of your sins and that he shed his blood for all of your sins and that he got up out of the grave, when you confess him as your Lord and Savior, here's what you can know for sure. You're his, and no one can snatch you from his hand, and no sin will be counted against you because Jesus Christ has forgiven it all. And if the gospel is really proclaimed in its fullness, there will always be people that say, well, then what if I just continue to sin? Well, those are forgiven too. But what happens is in the church, if you're really gonna walk with God, that's not how you should continue to live. I mean, Paul wrote the whole chapter in Romans 6 about what shall we say? Shall we go on sinning so grace will abound all the more? And the answer is, may it never be. Heck no. I mean, why would we want to keep living in the very thing that killed us? Why would we want to keep sinning the same sin that kept us in bondage? We've been set free. And so what you'll hear sometimes, especially when it comes to sexuality, people that aren't not living for the Lord and people that are living carnal, here's what they'll say. They'll say things like this. Well, God forgives me anyway. I mean, he always forgives us anyway. I can do whatever I want because I'm already going to heaven and I'm already forgiven. When you hear someone talk like that, you can be assured that that person is not walking in the fullness of the Holy Spirit and what God has designed for them. God wants them to walk in the fullness of his Spirit. God wants you to walk in the fullness of his Spirit. And so Paul starts this section when it comes to sexuality and talking about how your body is important. He says, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. In other words, he's saying this. You're slaves to the ones that you obey. People are saying this. Hey, Paul, isn't it true that I can still sin and go to heaven? He's like, yeah, all things are lawful, but not all things are what? Profitable. Means advantageous. It means beneficial. It means helpful to you. Just because you can, quote, be forgiven for something doesn't mean that that something that you do is actually helpful to you or helpful to others or advantageous to you or beneficial to others. And so the lens that we should be looking at is not what can I do and get away with and still go to heaven. The lens I should be looking with is if I'm really God's and if I really belong to him, how can I live my life in such a way that things that I do are profitable and beneficial for me as a kingdom citizen? What does that look like? Because Paul said, yeah, all things are lawful. I mean, you're still going to heaven, but it doesn't mean that they're beneficial. It doesn't mean that they're profitable. And then he says this, all things are lawful, but I will not be what? Mastered by anything. In other words, you are slaves to the one that you obey. If you are a slave to your sin, that's what's controlling you. If you're a slave of the Lord Jesus Christ, he's the one who's controlling you. And especially when it comes to your sexuality, if you engage in sexual sin, it will control you. There's a controlling nature. And so Paul's saying, yeah, even though I'm going to heaven and even though I can sin any sin and still be saved, it doesn't mean it's benefiting me. It doesn't mean that Jesus is excited about it. It doesn't mean that it's advancing the kingdom. It doesn't mean that it's giving me hope and freedom. So I don't wanna do that. And just because things are lawful, I don't wanna be controlled by anyone other than Jesus. I want to know that Jesus is my source, that Jesus is my Lord. And what Paul's saying, hey, listen, when it comes to your sexuality, what God designs way more beautiful and liberating than simply your self-gratification. Now, why does he talk like that? Notice verse 13. This was probably a slogan in Corinth. Food is for the stomach and the stomach is for food, but God will do away with both of them. What are they saying? Food for the stomach and the stomach for food. In other words, when I'm physically hungry and I have a physical appetite, I feed it. That's why my stomach's there. Therefore, I conclude, when I have sexual desire, I just fulfill it any way that I want to because this is my body. And Paul's saying wrong. Notice what he says in the very next verse, in the very next section of that verse. But yet the body is not for immorality, but the Lord and the Lord for the body. In other words, this, your body belongs to Jesus. He's the one who gave you your body, especially those of us who have confessed Jesus Christ as Lord. It's not just this tent that we live in. See, the Greeks had the idea that the body didn't mean anything, that spirituality was something within. It's what we feel. It's what we own. It's what we know. But as a Christian, we believe in the resurrection of the dead, that we will have physical bodies someday. What you look at, what you touch, what you taste, it's all spiritual. And so you can't just say, well, that's just the body. I just eat. And, you know, if I feel like having sex, I'll just have sex any way I want, or whatever pleases me. No, no, no. Because your body does not belong to you. Your body belongs to the Lord. Your body was made to honor the Lord. And what God designed in sexuality is way more beautiful and liberating than any type of self-gratification. So let me give you the biblical version of why God designed sex and what it's all about so that as we get into these passages, we have a framework. If you go back in your Bible to Genesis chapter 1, the very first chapter, there's a few things that God points out. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27, he says, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. A couple things you need to know, okay? Especially you animal lovers. I mean, I love that you love your dog. I love that you love your cat. You were created in the image of God. Your dog and your cat was not. Your cat may think he is, but he's not, okay? You were created in the image of God. You are above them. That's why God in the next verse says, you know, to be fruitful and multiply and have dominion over the earth. But God created two genders. Psalm 139 verses 13 and 14 says that you form my inmost parts. that you created me. And what did he create? He created two genders. He created male and female. I want to let you know something. If you were born male, that's who you are. That's what God intended. If you were born female, that's what you are. That's what God intended. And both are to be celebrated.
You're listening to Brave. And today, Pastor Jeff is sharing his message, God's Design for Human Sexuality, from the series Stronger, helping you discover why God's design for sexuality is more beautiful than self-gratification. We'll get back to Pastor Jeff in just a moment. But first, we want to help you be ready to courageously stand for kingdom values each day. That's why we want to invite you to become a Brave Warrior by signing up for email updates from Pastor Jeff. As a Brave Warrior, you'll get exclusive first-look access to exciting new content, ministry updates, and resources to help you fight the good fight of faith and boldly pursue the fulfillment of the Great Commission. To become a Brave Warrior, simply go to BravePastorJeff.com to sign up. Once again, that website is BravePastorJeff.com. We look forward to hearing from you. Now, let's get back to Pastor Jeff to listen to the conclusion of his teaching from God's Word today.
If you're female, here's the truth. Celebrate your femininity. It's honoring to God that you would celebrate your femininity. If you're male, celebrate your masculinity. It is honoring to God that you would celebrate your masculinity. Now, we live in a society, I just want to tell you, this may come as a shock, that everybody thinks that gender is the same and that the only differences are anatomical. Can I just tell you that's so not true? I mean, just watch kids. I mean, watch how your little boy is versus how your little girl is. They're different. They're hardwired different. In utero, you were different. That's why when I talk to married couples and we're doing counseling, Kim and I are doing counseling, and they'll say stuff like this, well, we have communication problems. Duh. She's a female. You're a male. You don't even see the world the same way, let alone your family backgrounds, let alone your upbringing, let alone your life experiences. Of course you have communication problems, right? And femininity, beautiful. Masculinity, beautiful. To be celebrated the way God wants it to be celebrated, okay? So that's what he designed. Now notice if you flip over to Genesis 2, you'll see the first wedding. In Genesis chapter 2:18, we see this. The Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. Now, this is a really cool statement. Number one, God says, it's not good for man to be alone. Amen? I think it's a good thing that man is not alone. Now, what has Adam been doing all day this day? He's been naming animals, like all day, like lion, okay, bear, I'm coming, platypus. I mean, he's just coming up with names all day. But one thing he's noticing is that for every male bear, there's a female bear. And for every male lion, there's a female lion. And for every male dog, there's a female dog. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. And God tells him it's not good for you to be alone either. So God causes Adam to fall into a deep sleep, takes a rib from Adam and fashions a woman and brings her to him. He's coming up out of a nap when he notices Eve. And this is what he says. The man said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Now, I don't know how many of you guys listen to the audio Bible. There's some really good audio Bibles out there. Like there's a guy named Max McLean that does the ESV with this voice like James Earl Jones. And it's really cool. And so like, if you hear this read, it'll say something like this, like Adam saw her and the man said, I can't do it like that, but this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. That is not what Adam said. That's not how Adam said it. I mean, guys, picture this. All day long, you've been naming animals and you're tired. And God says, not good for you to be alone. And you take a nap. And at the end of the nap, you wake up and there's a beautiful naked girl standing right next to you. And God says, this is for you. You would not say, this is now bone of my bone. That's not what you would say. Adam's like, this is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. Whoa, man, right? That's how you got woman, right? So that's what's going on. And God says it's a good thing and it's a beautiful thing. And the very next two verses, you see the first marriage because that's exactly what happens, right? For this reason, A man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. That's what marriage is in the Bible. According to the Bible, it's one man and one woman joined together, covenant before God, till death do they part. That's what God sanctions. God sanctions nothing else. That's what marriage is, okay? And notice this in verse 25, and the man and his wife were both naked and not ashamed. How awesome is that? See, we're ashamed of sex in our culture. As a matter of fact, sometimes in church, we won't even talk about it because we think it's a bad thing. And some of you grew up in environments where sex is really, 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 really bad. And then you get married and you're supposed to like flip a switch. No, it's good now. Okay. And some of you grew up in environments like, hey, just do whatever you want. I mean, you're probably not going to make it till you get married anyway. I mean, it's the right thing to do, but you probably can't handle it. So just, you know, have sex, but be careful out there. I mean, usually one of those two environments. God's environment looks like this. No, here's the environment. Sex is so powerful. It's so good. I created it. It's so binding. It is what it is, that marriage is the only container. And outside of marriage, no sex. Inside marriage, as frequent as you want to have it, because it's so binding. That's God's design for sexuality. And God says, it's good. As a matter of fact, on that day where he created male and female and wrapped everything up at the end of Genesis 1, verse 31, he says, God saw all that he had made and said it was very good. Like, God's a big fan of marriage. And God's not embarrassed to talk about sexuality. As a matter of fact, we'll talk about this a little more next week. I mean, God dedicated an entire book in the Bible to sexuality called the Song of Songs. I mean, if you just want to read through that, I mean, just at a glance, I mean, Hollywood wouldn't even get an R rating in that book if they just gave it in all of its fullness, right? I mean, why? Because God's not embarrassed about what he created. We may be, but God's not. Adam and Eve were both together naked and they were not ashamed. I mean, even throughout the Bible, we see different places where God talks about sexuality. He's not embarrassed at all. I mean, in Proverbs 5, 18 and 19, here's what he says about the marriage relationship. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth as a loving hind and a graceful doe. Let her breasts satisfy you at all times. Be exhilarated always with her love. Does that sound like a God that's embarrassed about sexuality? I'm gonna tell you that he's not. And sex is good, and it's very good, and God intended it to be very good, but he gave a container of marriage for it to be good. And outside of that, there's pain. Inside of that, it's really good. We'll talk about that a little bit today. And when God created it, he created it more beautiful and liberating than self-gratification. I mean, even if you think about the entire Bible, I mean, when one guy came to Jesus one day, an attorney, to test him and said, hey, how would you sum up the law and the prophets? He said, simple. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That pretty much sums up the entirety of the Bible. Go vertical and give God glory and praise, and then as he fills you with his love, go serve others relentlessly. I mean, that's really what the Bible's all about, right? In a nutshell, that's what we're called to do. Did you know that's how God designed sexuality too? God designed sexuality to be between a husband and a wife that would glorify and worship God and give him everything they have. And then sex is all about serving one another. It's all about giving to one another. It's not about gratification. It's not about, hey, what do I get out of this whole thing? It's not about what do I get? It's about how do I give? Now, if that's God's definition of sex, then anything that falls shy of glorifying God and serving one another in a marital relationship to make sure your spouse is pleasured and satisfied, everything else that falls shy of that is sin. Can you think about all the sins in the world? Everything that falls shy of that is sin. If you're living together, sin. If you're just in high school or your college or you're just kind of hanging out and you're just checking each other out and you're sleeping together, it's sin. Looking at porn, it's sin, right? Union that's not between a man and a woman, sin. I mean, it's all sin. And the Bible says this, did you know this? All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. When it comes to the way that God designed sexuality, none of us on our own, apart from the Holy Spirit, can ever live this out. And I'm just here to tell you that you can live out everything that God demands through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I mean, that's what Paul's gonna tell the Corinthian people right now. Because if you're sitting here, and I know what it was like, I mean, if you're a 16-year-old dude sitting here right now and your hormones are raging, you're like, dude, I gotta wait till I'm like 20-something to get married. I mean, what am I gonna do with all this? And where am I gonna get the power? Paul's so glad that you ask, and so am I. Look at verse 14. I'll give you the second design for God's sexuality. When it comes to your sexuality, God will empower his design and will hold you personally accountable. God will give you the power and the strength that you need, and you will give an answer for your sexuality one day. Notice verse 14. Now, God has not only raised the Lord, but will also raise us up through his power. I want to let you know something. We believe in the resurrection of the dead as Christians. One day your body will be resurrected. You will stand before the Lord to give an account for your life. Hebrews 9:27 says that it is appointed unto man to die once, and after that face judgment. You will stand before the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account for everything. You will appear before the Lord. But even better news than that, this same God that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, the same power is available in and through us when we've trusted in Jesus Christ. When the Holy Spirit is resident in your life, you have the power of God to live out everything that God would ever demand. You just do. Now, the world will tell you you can't. The world will tell you this. Hey, if you're 16, there's no way you're gonna stay a virgin until you're married. Here's what you need. Here, just take condoms. I'll just pass out condoms. That's not what the Bible says. What the Bible says is through the power of the Holy Spirit, you can live out what God wants you to have, and you can do it in God's way. What the Bible says is with the Holy Spirit resident inside of you, you don't need to have lustful thoughts for other women. Because I'll hear guys say stuff like this, it's okay that I look, but I just don't want to touch. Seriously, ask your wife if she's cool with that. Ask God if he's cool with that, because he's not. Well, you say, well, how do I get over lust? You submit to God, and God's strength is perfected in your weakness. When you can confess to the Lord, hey, God, I can't do this thing. I can't live this thing. I can't live pure like you're asking, but you say that I can, so I need your help in my life to do this very thing. And God always empowers his children who are depending upon him. It's a fact. You can live a pure life. God has the power to do that. In the same way that he raises you up. And just think about this. I mean, so often we don't apply certain scriptures to sexuality, but in Galatians 5:22, we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, you know, that nine-sectioned fruit. But think about it as it relates to sexuality. I mean, when you do it God's way and you abstain from sex until you're married and then in marriage, you have God-honoring sexuality, what is the result of that? First one, love. Love. Can I just pause there for a second? Because I feel like I need to share this as your pastor because I love you so much. Ladies, listen to me. If you're dating a guy that says, hey, the reason we're doing this is this just shows that you love me. Let me tell you something. If you're engaging in sex outside your marriage, he doesn't love you. He just doesn't love you. If the guy's saying, hey, sex is the way to say thanks for a great date, don't even get worried. Just say, no, that's not how it works. Here's how it would be thanks for me. Why don't you come vacuum my carpet and clean my dishes and clean my house and do my laundry? And that would show more love to me than sex would, right? Love. There is no love sexually outside of marriage, period. End of story. No such thing. Yeah, but we're living together and he told me if I break up with him, he's not gonna marry me. Let me tell you something. He ain't ever gonna marry you. I mean, it's kind of like the old saying goes, why buy the cow if you get the milk for free? You know what I'm saying? I mean, here's the purpose. You live pure before God. Now you might be saying, well, if I live pure before God, how am I ever gonna meet my spouse? The same way Eve did. God brought Eve to the man. Guys, how are you gonna meet your spouse? God will bring the woman right in your path if you're glorifying and honoring him. That's what he does. So as you're thinking about this, the enemy will always lie to you and say, it's not gonna happen to you. There are no other virgins out there but you. You're never gonna have a good marriage. You might as well give in now. I heard all those same thoughts the same way you're hearing all those thoughts. They're lies. Right. The truth is that you can live pure and experience the blessing of sexuality in marriage just the way God defined. And now a word for the guys. Because I know we live in a day and age where it's not chic to be a virgin until you're married, but God thinks it is. And if you want a blessing on your marriage, remain a virgin until you're married. And if you say, well, I've already blown that, then start today and repent. And from this moment on, live for the glory of God. Amen. That's what he would say. And where am I going to get the power to do that? The same power that raised Jesus from the dead, because that's the kind of power that you're going to need to live for God. But God will empower his design and he'll hold you personally accountable to it. We're going to give an answer for how we live in this body.
Thanks for listening to Brave. That was Pastor Jeff with his message, God's Design for Human Sexuality, from the series Stronger, helping you discover why God's design for sexuality is more beautiful than self-gratification. If you've been blessed by today's teaching, we invite you to give a gift to help keep this program going strong. To give, visit bravepastorjeff.com. That's bravepastorjeff.com. But before we wrap up, We also would like to invite you to join us for weekend services at Brave Church. Visit in person at any of our campuses, Englewood, Westminster, and our newest location in Colorado Springs. Or you can join us right from home through our weekend live stream. Visit bravechurch.online. Scroll down and click the Brave Church link at the bottom for details and directions. Thanks for joining us today.